Welcome, everybody, tonight. I see we have Tanya Moffat, who is our CPA from Marina and Company and the managing partner on our job. Mr. Steve Johnson of our audit committee, thank you for joining us. And we have Jackie Betts, our city administrator for the city of Gladstone. And we have one, the Mayor Milch is also observing, and Mayor, you are more than welcome to join in if you would like, please. Drusilla Wieland, who is also one of our audit committee members, will be joining us a little bit late. And then Suzanne Bach, who is our new audit committee member, will be observing the recording of this meeting and letting either myself or Tanya or Jackie know if she has any other further follow-up questions. So with that, I will turn it over to Tanya to go through the agenda and tell us all about how that what they're going to be doing for the upcoming audit.
Perfect. Thanks, Kathy.
Thank you.
As Kathy explained, I am the audit partner with Marina and Company. And so we have already conducted interim, which just means that we've already came out and started a little bit of the audit. We still have final field work and stuff, but I'm going to go through what our audit deliverables are first. And if you have any questions, please feel free to stop me at any point. So once we have completed the financial statement audit, we will issue an auditor's opinion on the basic financial statements. And then we will also issue an independent auditor's report required by Oregon state regulations. And so the Oregon state legislature has some very specific things that they have municipal auditors look at. For example, ORS 279, which is public purchasing rules, to make sure that when the city purchases anything, that they follow the correct procedures. So, for example, publishing it in the newspaper, making sure that everybody has an opportunity to bid on projects that the city puts out. So we do some testing and some sampling, and that's not necessarily financial related. So they have like a list of things. We also look to make sure that the investments of the city are in investments that are allowed per the state requirements. So there's some very specific things. We look at highway funds to make sure that they're spent appropriately, all of those kinds of things. So we'll have a report on that. And then we also issue a summary of revenues expenditures, which is then sent to the Oregon State Secretary of State, which they use to verify that the city has received an audit. And then, if applicable, we'll issue a management letter, which is any recommendations that we have that don't rise to a level that they would be a reportable condition. So, something like, let's say that we find something where there's like a check that was missing a signature that got through, something really small like that. That doesn't rise to that level that would need to be reported in what's considered an AUC 265 communication, which would be if we have any audit findings that are reportable. And so that would be what we consider a significant deficiency, which is something that is like down here. It's not quite that just management level, letter level, it's like that middle level. Or something that's considered a material weakness that means that there's actually a material error in the financial statements. So we only issue an AUC 265 report if there is a what we consider a reportable finding. We do always issue what's considered an AUC 260 communication to those charged with governance. So it's things like, what are the accounting estimates in the financial statements? When we asked for information, did we get it? Did we have any problems during the audit? Those kinds of things. If there's any adjustments that we proposed that we found when we were doing the audit. So those things are in that AUC 260 communication that we provide to the audit committee as well as to the city council. So those are the audit deliverables that we provide, are those reports as well as those letters. Does anybody have any questions on those audit deliverables before I move on to our audit approach?
No questions.
Okay. So for the audit approach, We conduct interim field work. And so that's usually early in the year. And so we already did that in August. We did it August 14th through the 17th. And what that is we come out and do some of our audit planning. We update our control documents. We do inquiries of city staff, as well as our risk assessment. So one of the things that we do is during our audit, we conduct it based off of a risk assessment. So there's things that are always going to be high risk, like cash is always going to be high risk because anybody can use it. So there's certain things that we're always going to audit and do a deep dive on, but then there's other things that maybe we haven't identified as something that is a high risk area, but maybe somebody, when we're doing inquiries or things like that, or when we're looking at a balance, maybe something that's new or changed from the prior year, that would rise to a level that's maybe a little bit higher risk. And so then we would spend more time on that. So every year we do a risk assessment of all of the account types, as well as what are the higher risk areas. And then that's where we focus more of our time during the audit. There are certain things we're always going to look at no matter what, but we always go through this risk assessment process to make sure that if there's anything that anybody's concerned about, that we're looking at it. So that's kind of how that works. And then once we've done our risk assessment, then we basically create our audit program and our audit procedures. So how we're going to do the audit, what areas we're going to be testing. And then we do our field work. So our field work for the audit this year is November 27th through the 30th. And we will perform anything that we didn't perform in interim. And we will evaluate our audit results. We will conduct an exit interview with city staff. So if there's anything that came to our attention, anything we're waiting on when we're leaving field work, all of those things will be relayed at that exit interview. And then after that, then we'll conclude the audit. So that's reviewing all the financial statements, as well as completing the audit deliverables. So drafting those reports, drafting those letters, and then we will do a presentation to the audit committee, which is typically in January. Gladstone used to be a little bit earlier, but with the joint venture, it's now a little bit slower because we're waiting on pieces of information from other entity to be able to put in the financial statements. So that's kind of our basically audit approach. So we do interim, which we're already completed with, then we do field work, and then we basically do our conclusion to the audit, and then like writing the letters, writing the reports, finishing our testing, not sitting out there at City Hall wasting their time. So we do that internally. So that's kind of our audit approach. Do you have any questions on our audit approach?
Did we get a copy of the controls documentation last time? I can't remember.
Yes, you did.
We did? Okay.
Yes,
all right.
You received all letters that were provided with the final report.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. So that lists things by controls then? The document?
If there was any concern, you know, if it's going to list anything, if there was anything, I don't know what.
So we did not have an AUC 265. So anything that rose to the level of a reportable condition for June 30 of 2022. Is that what you're asking?
Well, your second bullet item, update controls documentation and internal controls testing.
Yeah, so that's internal. That's part of our audit plan, is to understand what internal controls are in place. So for example, if the city were to have a new person in a specific position, then we'd go in and make sure that those procedures are the same. We'll inquire to make sure that nothing has changed, or maybe the city has a new like credit card processing company or something like that. I don't know because this is just an example. We would go in and we would test what those internal controls are around that, like how is it getting uploaded, do they have access to your system, things like that, to try to decrease those risks and understand where those risks could potentially be. So it's part of our audit plan. We do take some documentation from the city that then we use as our starting point for that.
Yes, we review those every year prior to them coming in on the interim portion. review and update. And then, as Tanya says, they take that information and verify that what we're stating is accurate.
So is there a master document someplace that has the controls that are used and how they're applied to the city? Or is the does document like that exist someplace?
It is an internal document that we use. Yes, everything we do is public record, but it is an internal document that we use to preface prior to the audit starting. If you'd like to see a copy of it, I'm more than happy to send it to you.
Sure, that might help a little bit.
We normally provide.
Yeah, I'm out of my comfort range by quite a bit in asking, so I might even be asking for something that's totally silly, but that might help me to better understand what we're doing here.
Okay, I'll be happy to get that sent to you tomorrow.
Okay. All right, thank you.
Yes, thank you for joining us, Drusilla. We see that you made it. Thank you.
So Drusilla, we already went covered the audit deliverables and audit approach. Is there anything that you would like me to go back over on those? We lost her.
We lost her. Oh.
She may have been trying to unmute herself, so we'll wait just a second.
There, I unmuted me. Okay. Oh, I think it's fine. I've read through all of this.
Okay. Steve, did you have any other additional questions besides that?
No, not on the audit approach section.
So one of the things that we do is we go through and ask fraud inquiries while we're doing an audit. And so this has been around for, I think, since about 2003 is when it came about that it's been a requirement ever since the Enron debacle. We typically ask if there's any concerns that you have. I know that sometimes it being in a public forum and a public session, it may be a little bit, maybe there's something that you want to discuss, but you don't want to discuss it in a public setting. So I'm more than happy to provide my contact information that you could contact me or anybody on our team if you had any concerns. So essentially, if there are any concerns, then we factor that in to our audit approach and we address those concerns during field work. And so that's part of the reason that we do this initial audit committee meeting is so that everyone on the audit committee is aware who we are and who I am. If you have any questions, we're always more than willing to answer those as well as address any concerns that you may have. So I don't know. I'll leave it open if anybody has any concerns or anything that they would like to discuss.
There, I finally got myself unmuted. Sorry, Drusilla, I didn't want to. Were you going to say something?
My internet connection is unstable, so I'm having trouble hearing everybody.
I wonder if you could call in, Drusilla.
Can I do both?
I think you could, and then you just turn off the mic on your computer.
Okay. Let me try that. Telephone.
You'd want to use the Tacoma.
I was just
number
gonna say
there.
The Tacoma number.
Yes.
Welcome to Zoom. Enter your meeting ID followed by pound.
Okay, let me do that. Meeting ID. Is that the web?
I have not entered any numbers.
That's the 810.
Yeah. Okay.
Enter your participant ID followed by pound. Otherwise, just press pound to continue.
Just press pound.
Yeah. The meeting password followed by pound. You have joined the meeting as an attendee and will be muted throughout the meeting.
Okay, so then if we can promote her to panelist on that one, or if you can hear us, at least now.
I've allowed her to talk, so she should be able to talk.
Okay. It looks like she's on mute, though.
Let's see if I can.
Can't remember, is it 01? What is it to unmute yourself on?
Oh.
She's unmuted now.
She needs to mute her computer.
Which one do I need?
Mute your computer. The speaker on your computer, sorry. So that you're not getting the echo.
Are you able to unmute your phone, Drusilla?
There's a command to do it, I believe, if she's not in the app.
Okay, let's do.
I'm looking. If you can push *6.
Correct. *6 would should unmute your telephone, Drusilla. There you go. Looks like you're unmuted now.
Okay. And then my computer should be muted.
Yep. Are you getting the double echo, or you can hear us just fine now?
I can hear you just fine now.
Okay. Perfect. I love it when we can actually troubleshoot technology on the fly, because you never know.
especially with me doing it.
You did great. Works out perfectly. So what I had said before you couldn't hear me is we were going through the fraud discussion. So basically, if you want to contact us, if you have any concerns, you're more than welcome to speak about any concerns in this public setting as well. I just know that sometimes people are not comfortable doing it in a recorded or public meeting. So I didn't know if you had any concerns. Okay.
I have a question.
Yeah.
And I may have asked this before. If I have, forgive me.
I won't remember, so it's fine.
Okay. does the city of Gladstone still have gasoline and diesel for city vehicles? Does it still have fuel tanks?
No. Steve, we purchase our fuel from Stein Fuel Services.
Okay, so card lock then.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Are we auditing the cards and things like that? Are we watching that?
Yes, they're reviewed every month during the payables process.
Okay. Mm-hmm. In the very distant past, secondhand, I heard that there were some problems. Oh. But that was back when there was a tank at the city. So if the tank is gone and you've got an accounting process, the problem from back then is probably gone at this point.
Yes, I would assume so. I'm not aware of any problems that have been brought to any of our attention over the past 6 years, at least.
Okay. It was before that.
Okay.
Okay.
It's always nice that there's internal controls to
yes.
Now, I have installed a lot of surveillance systems for fuel tanks. I mean, it's become a real problem.
Especially with the prices now.
Yes. Yeah, and it's not just automotive. I've installed some at the Hillsborough Airport too. Same problem. Are you down to areas of concern yet, or did you have more you wanted to go through?
Yeah, if there's any areas of concern that you have.
Mine continue to be, and forgive me, Jackie, I still want to mention IT. I think that's important. I think it's important that we have some controls and some documentation there. And along with that, camera access, CCTV, security cameras, and access therein, who has access, and if there's any issues with privacy or HIPAA or any of those sorts of things, I think it would be helpful to have some insight into that as well.
I could share with you, Steve, that this past year through CIS, our insurance, county and city insurance, we have gone through an extensive review of our IT processes and securities and came through with really, really good marks as far as the quality of IT security that has been implemented by our IT manager. And needless to say, any of that is all public record. If there is something there that you wanted to review, I'm sure we would be able to get you in touch with CIS or our IT manager, Robert Hale. But it is something that is constantly on our agenda and on our radar as far as staying on top of our cybersecurity.
Okay, that was something CIS did, though, not you guys.
It was in conjunction with CIS. Yes, they, we had to answer a lot of questions, prove a lot of issues have been implemented, et cetera. And then because we were looking for additional cybersecurity insurance, we had to ensure and prove that we were of a certain level of security in order to secure the insurance.
Will the audit committee see those documents? Will the audit committee review those?
Well, the audit committee is not charged with IT security. That's not part of their charter. But again, we have public information. And so let me get with Jackie tomorrow and determine exactly what is the best way to handle that.
Sounds good. Thank you.
Absolutely. Thank you.
I know a lot of times with that type of documentation, a lot of times that can potentially be excluded from public record requests too, to the sensitivity of the nature.
Sure.
But it is definitely something, it's always a risk. It's an if not when at this point, when not if. That is typically not something that we look at during the financial statement audit because we're specifically looking at historically what has happened in the last fiscal year to the accounting records. Mm-hmm.
That somebody has looked into it and that there is a report, the 30,000 foot level report, we checked these things. This we found that they're all okay. The specificity of the far down details of the security systems is not something that needs to be public record, but just that it was indeed checked. Yes. And looked at, and somebody said, hey, this looks pretty good to us. So, So, I mean, if that documentation is available, if the audit committee ever gets to review that, I think that would be a good idea.
Okay.
Any other areas of concern?
I don't have any.
Okay. Ursula, did you say something?
No.
Okay. So you're fine. I just wanted to make sure that I didn't miss something.
I'm sorry. It's blinking in and out, but.
It is what it is.
It is.
We're dealing with problem. It. I'm just glad you can hear us because that's the worst part is when it's blinking in and out and you can't hear. That's the worst part.
Yeah, thank you.
So new GASB statements and standards. There is a fairly significant new accounting standard for this fiscal year that we're auditing, which is July 1st, 2022 through June 30, 2023. And that is the Government Accounting Standards Board, or GASB 96, which is subscription-based information technology agreements. And so this is basically the leases for computer software. That's the best way to explain it. So it's anything that's over a year long. It does have some parameters around that, that it's like cancelable by either party, things like that. So there's some parameters around, it's not just if it's over a year, but there are some parameters around it. And so what happens is this year, we will see some new, basically, they call them CBITA or CBITA, S-B-I-T-A, leases that will be added to the financial statements. And it is just a new way of accounting for these. In the past, they have just been expensed as they are charged. Now there's a calculation for like the present value and an interest rate is applied. And then it's shown as a liability for the years that the subscription is going to be in service for, as well as an asset for that subscription too. So you'll have both an asset as well as the liability on the financial statements. So that is the big change this year. As you will potentially remember, is leases was the big one last year. And so unfortunately, that means we've got a couple years in a row that they're not going to, we can't compare them apples to apples because there's new accounting standards. And so the Government Accounting Standards Board likes to do that to us where they change things up. They like to keep Kathy and Jackie on their toes and myself on our toes so that we, you know, are constantly having to learn new things. I don't have any concerns about the city implementing that and having that in the financial statements. Do you have any questions about that?
So you're talking about Office 365, Adobe rentals, things like that?
So Office 365 falls out because it's typically an annual subscription and it's not a long-term subscription. Some of the Adobes are longer than a one-year subscription. It just depends on how the subscription is. So it can be like the accounting software, the SAP software. It can be like the server software a lot of times is like a 3 or 5 year long subscription. Sometimes we see it with like the libraries. The libraries might have a subscription for some sort of technology that they have over at the library. So those are the kinds of things that it is. Typically the Office 365 falls out because it's like a monthly or an annual where it just renews. So it's not, it doesn't have like that longer term over 12 months.
Yeah, typically annual and that's it. Yeah.
Yeah.
What are you looking for there in this GASB 96? What are you auditing for? What issues are you looking for?
It's not so much an issue, Steve, as it is a way of recognizing that there is an ongoing expense resulting from these subscriptions if they are over 12 months. There are so many software subscriptions now that are cloud-based. They're not server housed. Our accounting, which is our most expensive software that we have, it's actually housed on our server and we actually own that. So it's not subscription-based. You won't see that one listed. We do pay for an annual maintenance, but it's not a, we don't pay for the software. If we decided not to continue on the maintenance going into the future, we would still be able to run our software and run our financial modules. But some of the ones that we do have, we've got some smaller programs in the police department that are, you know, those are subscription-based. They're totally, you know, web-based. And if something is web-based, it's a good indicator that it's going to be something that we will be listing. if it is over an annual subscription length. Again, it's not so much that we're looking for something, it's just recognition that there is an asset out there offset by a liability and ongoing commitments of the city that way.
Right. I know those things can get lost. They can get forgotten about. And, you know, 5 years goes by and somebody brings it to you and says, why are we buying this?
Right.
Where is the use? Why are we buying this? And sometimes you find out that nobody's been using it for 5 years.
So. It's almost like a personal Netflix account, you know, as far as something that people forget they have, but they, you know, it continually comes out of your expenses every month.
Right.
And, you know, it would be on a much larger scale.
Perfect. I understand. Thank you.
Yes.
Yeah. So it's a lot of looking at what software is being used within the city. It's a lot of communication with IT because they typically have a little bit of a better handle because if it is something, sometimes they've downloaded or allowed people to be able to go to those websites, or there's like a plugin or an add-on that's been added to the computer. So they typically know about it. And then going through those leases and those agreements to confirm that they meet the criteria, that they're over a year, those kinds of things. So,
okay, perfect.
Yeah. Any other items that anybody wants to discuss? I think we do have to hop back up to, do you need to approve any minutes, Kathy? I didn't know.
No, we're not going to be approving minutes tonight. We'll do that with the meeting when we go to approve the financials also too.
Okay. I just wanted to confirm that we didn't need to do that. So. Yeah.
So any other further questions?
I do have one question. What did you do with those technology arrangements? Excuse me. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. What did you do with those technology things before this change?
They've just been expensed annually, Drusilla, with their annual cost. So it runs through the, you know, the profit loss statement, basically.
All right.
So now it'll just report that asset as well as the liability. What's being paid will still show up on that budget to actual profit and loss statement. But this way, the notes will explain that there is this commitment that the city has made to pay X number of dollars for however many years those contracts last. So it's just showing that liability and that asset on the books now. That's the piece that's new.
Bringing that recognition to it. Yes.
Great question.
So they're now showing them kind of as a thing.
It comes out of materials and supplies, usually out of, say, like other contractual services, something like that. Yes. So just the annual cost of it. It may be monthly, it may be quarterly, it may be annually.
Some are prepaid up front too, as well.
Yes, we'll prepay 3 years, and to get a better rate on it, and then recognize the expense once a year for those 3 years. Yeah, I'm not really excited over this. It's a lot of work for what it is, but Tanya said, it's identical to the leases that we did last year, where we had leases for copiers. This year we'll be adding a couple more leases to it. And again, basically it shows the same thing as far as the length of the lease, an attributable interest rate to it, what the current portions are, what the long-term portions are, just gives you information on where the city is indebted. It's another form of debt. So it's just bringing recognition to that.
I found at a customer location, we talk about copiers. I found a copier that was on lease, and the copier company had told the company that they could buy it out anytime. and they hadn't in years past. They kept paying the lease payment month after month after month. And finally it got caught. And it's like, you mean we could have just paid a dollar and been done with this? Yes. You know, that's the sort of stuff that it gets missed easily.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, it certainly can.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's nice to have that list, all no matter how time consuming it was to go through. I mean, and especially this first year of implementation, it's just trying to go to everybody and say, hey, do you have any of these? If so, let's get the agreements to then, and then having to go through and figure out, okay, is this an annual situation? Is it a monthly situation? And then trying to identify whether or not it even falls into the category for Sabita's. So it takes a lot more time this first year. And then hopefully after this, it'll just be like, okay, so this is renewed. Did anything change now that it's been identified?
Yes. And the one thing about them that's quite interesting, I've spoken with some, with Marina and company, and then also some other auditors too, that we're finding there's really not a lot of them that are reported because so many of these agreements are just strictly on an annual basis. You may end up keeping them for much longer, but you're contractually obligated only for that annual basis. And if it's annual or less, you don't record it. So.
And a lot of them are, what we're finding is a lot of them are maybe an initial, like you got to sign up for it for 3 years, but then after that, it's just 1 year at a time. And so if you don't know you're going to keep it for those additional years, you wouldn't, it wouldn't fall into this category. It would if it was the initial year, but let's say it started 4 years ago and it was a 3-year lease originally, and then now we're in those extension periods, that doesn't count. So there's just some nuances to it as well. So we're not seeing a lot of them. The libraries are about the bigger, like the larger libraries, they're the ones that we're seeing probably the most with. Or somebody that has like specific software for specific things that they're maybe have a subscription base for it. Any additional items?
I don't have anything.
No. Okay. Turn it over to you, Kathy, to close it, I guess.
Well, thank you very much for participating tonight. I hope it you know, just kind of refreshes you as far as what we are going to be looking at here and bringing up, you know, just new information that is here. I will get the internal doc sent out to the committee tomorrow so that you have that to look at. You'll see it's very detail orientated as far as how we handle accounts payable, how we handle accounts receivable, various things like that. But it, you know, if it's of interest to you, that's great. If you have any further questions, please don't ever hesitate to contact me, contact Tanya directly. We're more than happy to talk about financial accounting and audits. There's not a lot of requests for those questions for those. So we're more, as I say, we're more than happy to share. We will be trying to, or staying in touch with Oak Lodge Water District, who does the statements. They're responsible for the statements for NCCWC for our joint water commission that we're partners with Oak Lodge and then Sunrise Water Service. And that is the reason that we have been delayed on issuing the last two or three years, because they are late in getting their statements issued. And of course, we're always waiting on that joint venture participation number, whether we increase or decrease our share of it. So I've already scheduled the delivering of the statements to the city council for the January council meeting. We hope not to have to go any later than that, but I knew certainly we would not be ready for the December council meeting. So as soon as we are starting to get to a point where draft statements can be sent to you, I will notify you. And we always try to get the drafts to you at least a week or two before the audit committee meeting so that you have a chance to review and have any, bring forth any questions or concerns. And so basically that's where we are in the process. Have you got any other questions for us tonight?
Not for me.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you so much for participating. We do appreciate it.
We'll look forward to seeing all of that.
All right. Thank you.
Have a great night, everybody.
Yes. Thanks. Good night. Bye-bye.